You are tuned to KBBI AM 890 Homer. I'm your host slash moderator, Aaron Bolton, and we're here with six Homer City Council candidates here at Kachemak Bay campus. We will be starting with opening statements, and then again, for the audience members here, we'll open it up to questions. And so we'll start with 2 minute opening statements. I'll give you guys a 30 second warning. I'll just kind of raise my hand for to let you guys know. And why don't we start with Carolyn Venuti, 2 minute opening statements.
Hi, my name is Caroline Venuti, and I'm a candidate for one of the two open seats on the City Council. I want to thank KBBI and the college, Carol Schwartz, for allowing us to have this this evening for KBBI, for making sure that the listening audience is informed also. And also, I would like to thank all of you for coming tonight, because I looked at my calendar and there were like four or five good things happening tonight. And it's even a good TV night, and you're here. So thank you very, very much. It means you're an interested voter. And I hope that when it comes time to vote, that you will listen carefully to all of us and decide to vote for me as a city council representative. Well, I grew up in Kodiak, Alaska. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I graduated from Kodiak High School. I attended both the UAF and UAA, and I have my master's in education. I was a teacher for 33 years. I taught at Hope, Alaska, with a one-room school. I was a head teacher there with only seven children, and it moved up to 21 by the time I left. So I had a great, that was wonderful experience. And then I moved to Homer. I fell in love with Homer as soon as I came around the bend, like many other people. And I never thought I'd ever be running for city council. But I do have, I don't have an agenda, but I have a platform. And I wanted to have everybody to have a choice in this election. And when I entered as a third candidate, there were only two people running and two seats. That doesn't make a race to me. So I put my name in. But once I started, I got this fire in my belly, to quote Don Young, and it was really a fire in my belly, sort of like, whoa, this is fun. I'm excited. I'm learning so much about the community that I live in. I'm learning that everyone has a passion of something that they want the city council to do. And I'm hoping that I'll be open to it and listen, and that you can express to me how you feel. One of the things that I feel strongly about is resilient structures. I went through the 1964 earthquake in Kodiak, and the entire town was wiped out. And at that time, we were a very small community and managed to take care of ourselves. I don't see that happening in Homer. We're a larger community, and we're used to the road system. And Kodiak didn't have the road system, so we're kind of self-sufficient already. So I'm very concerned that I attend workshops, that we look at what FEMA has to say, that we listen to the Planning and Zoning Commission when they're looking at soil erosion, so that we continue to build structures like the police station in resilient, safe places. Another issue, one of the things that I think I could bring to my, if I was elected to the city council, would be that I'm fiscally in the middle. I don't believe in cutting everything, but I would look at the budget very, very carefully. I have a deep respect for our city manager and for the people in the finances department, and when they propose the budget to the city council, I'm gonna look at it very carefully. But I think that they do a very, very good job.
Don't mean to interject, but
I'm almost done.
2 minutes.
Okay, thank you. And also, I want to create harmonious interactions with the city by treating every resident in Homer with respect and understanding. And I believe that this is one of the better places in the world to live. So thank you, I'll appreciate your vote.
My name's Rachel Lord, and I'm also running for city council. My husband was born out the road. He was born out East End Road. He went off to school, and he came back here every summer that he was at school for the most part, and he moved back here when he finished school to live here, to work here, to continue his family business, and ultimately to start a family, whether or not that was his idea in the first place. But a lot of our friends have done the same thing. They grew up with Ben here, and they have come back. They are artists, they are engineers, they are ship captains, they are working for the city, they're working for the oil fields, they are doing so much, and they came back here to raise their families. And that, to me, is a huge sign of a vibrant community, that people not only are from here, but they leave and they come back here. We now have two small children, and I want them to have that same opportunity when they go, they grow up, that they see this as a community that they want to stay in, that they, if they do go away, that they do have that option, that they may want to come back here. I believe that our city council is our neighbors, that our local government is run by a city council of the community, that the staff for the city is there are neighbors that is part of our community. And I think that it's an important time for us to step up anytime we can, and we feel like we have the qualifications to take a seat at that table and to take a turn doing it. I do not have an agenda. Is that it?
No, 30.
30 seconds, okay.
I'll just raise my hand for the 30-second warning and then.
Thanks, Aaron. I don't have an agenda, but I have a huge amount of experience. I am a very open-minded person. I have worked with the city. I've worked with the Port and Harbors. I currently work for the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators. I care deeply about our maritime industries. I think we need to support all of our industries. Anything that we can, we need a diverse economy to weather the tough times ahead. And I am a small business owner. I am a mother. And I think I would be a really good voice at the table. Thank you.
My name is Kimberly Kenner, and I'm running for city councilwoman. This is my second time running. I've been in Homer. I moved from Pennsylvania. I've been in Homer for 2.5 years now. And there was vacant seats, which I've seen as a problem because it doesn't give voters any kind of options. I do have an agenda. I'd like to see, Homer Senior Center is doing great. I got to commend them for that. But I'd like to see us promote our businesses in town to become more ADA compliant to serve our aging population. I'd like to help addiction, possibly a detox unit in the hospital I feel is necessary. An ADA compliant, or a addiction committee, not a commission, because we have to pay for that, and it is a tight budget. I do not support voting yes on the heart. I will be voting no. I did in 2015, and I will again. That heart fund is designated to build our roads. Overall, I just have a passion for people. And my top priority, though, is to create our entire community, including the council, to mending from the events that went on this past summer. Myself included, I've made a couple inappropriate comments online. I'll be honest about that. I've been honest about my past, and I can be trusted with your future.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Nussbold. I moved up here for the first time in 1980, and I came here with my wife and my daughter, two daughters, and I think by the time I left, there was four of us, or I had four children. I made my permanent move up here back in 2008, and beforehand I was involved with business in Minnesota. I had a trucking business, an asphalt business, a concrete casting business, and snow plowing and different things like that. I feel like the times that we're headed into with the shrinking funds and that we are headed towards, this is the time to be thinking out of the box and bring in new infrastructure, new buildings, new businesses, to create a tax revenue to fill the gap. There's just a lot of changes I see in the future. And my goal is to take the things that I learned in business, and one of the things that I had to compete with was with chain stores, and just learn how to compete and to achieve the goal of being able to compete in the times that we're in. So my goal is to look into them avenues and come up with the best solutions to fill them needs or them gaps that we have. So anyways, thank you.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vance, and I too obviously am running for city council. I was one of the first on the list for the candidacy because I feel deeply about representing Homer, and also running because it's our civic duty to engage in our local government. I grew up here in Homer, and this is actually where I attended college, in high school. I had no intention of going to school because I didn't want anything to do with it. And that fall, I signed up right here at KPC and gained 3 associates. And I went on to Bible college after that, and where I traveled the world doing missions and gained a global perspective on the vulnerability of nations and people, and that people need hope. And one of the ways that we can instill hope is by being a positive movement in our government. And one of the things that I want to do, much like Rachel, is to help bridge that gap that government, especially our local government, our friends and neighbors, and we are the government. It's not a separate entity, but when every time we get out and act and we vote and we speak up, we participate, we are the shaping our future and are the government that is going to be the change that we want to see. So I got married. I am now have 4 beautiful children, and we have chosen to raise our family here in Homer because of the wonderful community that it is. And I want to see Homer thrive and prosper in many ways. I love our little hamlet by the sea. I love the fact that we can have such a wonderful mix of people and still have that small town feel where you can say, hey, let's go have a cup of coffee. And someone says, okay, let's go. Because in so many other places, they're too busy or too engaged with other things to not invest in the immediate need for relationship. And I think that's one of the vibrant things that Homer has. And together, we can build the future. I would like to focus on investing into projects that will...
Sorry, Sarah, we're reaching over 2 minutes.
All right, thank you. I want to invest in things that will bring revenue for Homer.
Oh, hi, my name is Andy Keita. I decided to run for city council out of a sense of responsibility to the residents here after 20 years of living here and just sitting back and watching. And after what went down this past year, I thought maybe give it a shot and see what people thought. And I'm not really intending to achieve the seat on the council. I thought my voice could be heard, and maybe there's people out there who may or may not agree. Just another voice in the world. Myself, I got here in 1997, just a regular working guy. I have a 5-year-old and just enrolled in kindergarten now. And I'd like to see Homer, a small town that it is. I grew up in a small town myself. Everyone knows everybody. People get along. We can reach compromises easily. And there's no need to have divisiveness among the residents here because we're all here together at the same time. So thank you.
All right, and that wraps up our opening statements. And we have been gathering cards from the audience for questions. So we will open it up to audience questions with the card. And if anyone would actually just like to ask the question themselves, you can flag Terry and he can bring you a microphone as well. But if you'd like to just use the cards, we can do that as well. So first question, how will each candidate react to the introduction of a proposal by a city resident of something that the candidate does not personally support? And why don't we start on the other end of the table, if Candy, if you want to take that first one. So what the card says is, how will each candidate react to an introduction of a proposal by a city resident of something that the candidate does not personally support? I think they're kind of referring to just, will you introduce something that you personally don't support?
I think if I were on the council, the council acts together as a unit. It's not whether I agree or not individually, the council will reach some type of consensus, compromise, find a way to make it work within that scenario. And whether I agree or not, it's a 2/3 vote. So there's that weight on that side too. And I feel as if, I'm a pretty adaptable person, and I think that I could find a way through something I disagreed with.
My name is Sarah Vance, and when I don't agree with something that someone is bringing to council, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to learn more about it, because if I don't agree with it, I may not be very well informed on the facts about something, and so I would want to find out more about it and see if there is a story, a perspective that I don't yet see. Let's talk to other people. I just came from the media literacy, and they talked about listening to different conversations, the different perspectives and the stories to find the truth. Well, if I don't agree with something, I need to find out more about it and bring it to the table and see how other people feel, if it's going to benefit Homer. Because with counsel, that's the ultimate question. Is it going to be the good of Homer as an entire community?
I think the thing that I would really stand against is being in the box that we're in right now, where we're used to funds coming in from state and federal. I would really stand against just dumping on the taxpayer. I think that Homer has much potential to grow and to move forward and prosper. And so it really bothers me to think about that as government grows, tries to achieve the things that they want to do, but the way they need to achieve them is to come up with some kind of new tax revenue. And there's only 2,500 taxpaying people in Homer. And so we need to come up with just a different solution on how to take care of the needs of this city. And so that's what I would really stand against, is dumping on the taxpayer.
Something's proposed I don't personally agree with. That's fine. What I'll do is put myself in the vantage point, coming and viewing it from the perspective that the person who proposed it, and then I would intently listen to public testimony on whatever that issue and resolution proposed is, and I would put it to the people. And if the majority of people testifying want something and it has to go to a vote, I'm going to vote for the majority of what the people in Homer want.
I think in my experience living here, it's really important to ask questions, and to not just ask a question about what's sitting in front of you and what you immediately see, but to ask the questions about the larger context. And nothing, very few things are really black and white. And so if my gut reaction is a no, or if my gut reaction is a yeah, there is probably 99% of the time a bigger story behind whatever that question is at the table. And I think that that's extremely important. And part of that is listening to public testimony. Part of that is doing your homework and really asking the questions of the people who are coming to the table, asking the questions of the city manager, of staff, of understanding what is the background of this, where did this originate, has this been at the table before. I don't come to the table with a really strong ideology in one decision or in one way or the other. We have a city to run. We have services that the city provides, from our roads to our library to our harbor to our water and our sewer. Those services need to continue being provided to the citizens of Homer in a way that is sustainable fiscally in the long term and supports our community and supports our kids for the next generation. So I think understanding that there is gray matter everywhere, and there is context to be had, and there are voices to be heard and facts to learn about, I think is critically important.
This question makes me very grateful for my experience of 33 years as an administrator and educator, consensus building, finding myself aware of what side the other person is coming from, looking at both sides. I believe I am a problem solver. I think everything always has a solution. And I don't go into the city council thinking that I am the only person on the city council. The city council is made of people who are bringing their differences to the community. And what I have found in my life on earth is that we have more in common than we have differences. And so I would look for a commonality. And once you find a person's commonality and you're open-minded, then you find out a level playing ground that you can both meet on. I might not always get what I would like, and they might not always get what they like, but that's where consensus building comes in. And you walk away with a good feeling in your heart that you did the best you could do.
Okay, and on to our next question. Our next question is, I've heard a lot of people complain that our children are leaving town. Do you agree or disagree? And what would you do to improve things if they are leaving town? And why don't we start with Duane?
That is a really important issue. There needs to be more opportunity there for young people to get a job that they're just barely scraping by. But if you want a person to stick around, they have to be able to buy a house, they have to be able to buy a car, they have to be able to pay their taxes, they have to be able to deal with their insurance. And the biggest thing is opportunity, and what kind of opportunities is Homer given? We have a great fishing industry, but that doesn't always fit with the lifestyle of everybody. And you know, it's hard to deal when you're gone 5 months at a time, and I've experienced that. But the key is going to be education, jobs, good paying jobs, and you know, a busy enough town to be able to take care of construction needs and you know, all the other, you know, shipping needs and different things like that. We need to create atmosphere that is positive for getting started here.
And just to make sure, if you guys can speak up just a little bit louder and make sure you introduce yourself when you begin speaking.
My name's Kimberly Ketter. I agree with Duane. There needs to be some more innovative services and offered. I'd like to take a look at the way, you know, in order to keep jobs here, to keep children around. I know me, I'm 34 and I'm single, and it's hard to make it here. I don't think people in Homer, to live in the city of Homer, should have to be married or fall into the aging population or own a business just to stay here and maintain a life where they can afford it. I'd like to take a look at a lot of things, such as processing jobs that I feel could stay more here. It also keeps our fishing industry strong like it is. To charge millions for fish crossing the dock and then less to export the jobs to be done cheaper elsewhere, or if people come here and do them cheap. Last year, I proposed offering small businesses, especially on the spit, that hire casuals and so forth and people from other states as a way to help our economy and get younger people jobs as some type of incentive, whether it be some kind of break on taxes, to hire locally first. But ultimately, I think competition in business is going to be a major driving force here. And I know a lot of people don't like that, but that is business. And I know a lot of local business owners I've talked to here are actually losing business because of Amazon sales and so forth, where I feel if we had competition for those businesses here, they'd still have a better chance of competing than competing worldwide on internet with internet sales.
Well, I think that, I mean, looking that there are people coming back, that there are a lot of people making very creative ends meet, and that there is still opportunity in this community. We are an aging community. We are an aging borough. And so to keep this a vibrant place and to keep a diverse economy, I do think is a really important thing for current and future generations. And I think something like the Homer Marine Trades Association working with the college here to put together a program to help people learn and get into the marine trades, and you couple that with strong city services, you couple that with a place that people want to live and a city that's strongly supporting the expansion of our barge mooring and haul out repair facility, pushing for a large harbor expansion, you know, that sort of support of an industry that is already thriving here and that is supporting a lot of people, a lot of kids, not just getting out on a boat and going fishing, but supporting that industry, I think is critical. And more of those sorts of engagements, keeping an eye on how the city operates to be able to be a sustainable service provider for a community so that people not just can come back here, but want to.
It's a great question. I thought about this earlier, and I thought of this self-fulfilling prophecy that somebody had said to me, well, isn't it too bad that we can't get more people to come back and live in Homer? So I sat down, and lo and behold, a former teacher had written a list of about 100 students that have returned to Homer and are working. They're working in the city. They're working at the college. They're professors. They are working in the pharmacies. They're working at Ulmer's. They're working at Safeway. They have their own businesses, Spit Sisters. They're working in the food industry, the bagels. I have taught for 33 years. About 25 or 26 were here. I run into my students continually in the business of just living in Homer. They're there. And I think we need to pat ourselves on the back and say, we're not going to spread that rumor anymore. We're going to glorify it because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If people hear that we don't have opportunities for young people, then there aren't. That their mind is closed to it. Our college does a wonderful job providing people. CNA, there are jobs in the hospital. CNA, Carol Schwartz went to the hospital. They have the CNA program. We have a nursing program here. We have the marine industrial program here. My first job at the college was with the youth job training program. I worked with David Lewis on that for a couple of years, and we found jobs for every student that came through there. People that own businesses were happy to have them. These were students that perhaps didn't know even how to do an interview, didn't have a resume. I helped them do that. It was the most rewarding job, and some of those people are still out there working. So I am very proud of what we're doing, and I think you need to say we do have opportunities for the young people when you come back here, and hooray for Homer.
And we'll go back down to the end of the table to Andy Keita. And again, just make sure you get up real close to the microphone so folks can hear you.
Oh, hi, Andy Keita here. Kids in Homer, I've known so many over the years as refereeing sports and things like that. There's not a whole lot of opportunity as a child here to really experience what they could be. Like, there's used to be the Boys and Girls Club. There's outdoor recreation. Kids just hanging out in the streets, you know. I think, you know, the education here is fantastic. The high school is great. Everyone really gets a lot out of that if they put their mind to it. And this college here is spectacular, especially as a young high school graduate. You can really get a lot of what you need right here in Homer at your mom and dad's house. Outside of that, if you're a young person, but you're an adult, I encourage you to go see more of the world and learn more and see more people, find out more information. You can always come back. Homer's not going anywhere. We all love it here, and it's up to them, you know? Thank you.
My name is Sarah Vance, and how can you disagree with what any of the rest of the candidates said? I agree with Caroline that it's almost a false notion anymore that people are not coming back. I recognize several of my teachers from high school and college here in this room, and one of the things that is so encouraging to me is that they are still doing the thing that they were doing 20, 25 years ago with me. They continue to encourage young people to get involved, to think and imagine beyond themselves, beyond Homer, but to bring that very thing that makes them so wonderful and want to go see the world right here to our own community. And if we continue to be the community that encourages individuals to be who they are, be who they were created to be, and what all they can give, then we're going to naturally create the environment that people either won't want to leave, or they'll go out and they'll come right back. I'm one of those people, you know, and I said, there's no other place that I want to raise my family because there are so many wonderful opportunities for children, for families. all ages. You know, this is an incredibly vibrant community where you don't have to have a large pocketbook to get involved and go and enjoy things. And the ones who say, oh, there's nothing to do here, I just got to get out of Homer, those are the kids who are not engaged. If we can get them engaged, then that will increase their worldview.
Okay. And we got a person who wants to ask a question. We'll go back there.
Hi, I've been a member of this community. I don't live in town, but I have a business in town for the last 30 years. And I've heard every one of the candidates say they want to encourage more revenue in town. And I haven't heard, except a bit from Rachel, exactly what would entail that revenue that's coming into town. I've watched businesses come and go. I'm one of the few businesses that's actually lasted for 30 years. So question one is, what is the concrete idea of bringing more revenue to town? Question, part B of that question is, what is your parameter for the amount of revenue invested to the investment return that you would get?
Okay, and why don't we start at this end with Rachel?
Claire, thanks for that question. And I might need to get clarification on the second part of that question. You know, there is no question that the city of Homer and the state of Alaska are facing really tough economic times right now. And as far as what are we going to do to raise revenue, to bring money to this town? I think that, you know, there is an element of, we are a small town and we are at the end of the road, and we can try to look for areas where we can expand industry, expand businesses. I think we need to be, of course, smart with our zoning and planning on all of those endeavors, but things like working with the barge basin expansion, looking at marine trades, how can we really leverage the marine trades we have here, keep business that's going elsewhere, keep some of these boats that are going elsewhere to stay here, that's gonna help. That's gonna help bring money into the city. But also having a city where people wanna live, so that when you move to Homer, you wanna live in the city, because you're gonna have good water and sewer access. You're gonna have good roads. You're gonna have sidewalks. You're gonna have trails. You're gonna have an excellent library to go to, so that you wanna come here and you wanna build a house here. You wanna buy a house here. You wanna have a business here. I have a business in the city of Homer, and every time I make a sale, a little bit of money goes to the city. And I'm proud of that, and I hope to grow that. And I thank everybody who does do business here in Homer, and I think that we need to, you know, make sure that we have an eye towards a diverse economy supporting a lot of different industries, to make sure that revenue is, we are a self-generating machine with people wanting to live here.
I've met so many of my friends and supporters that said, I wish I could vote, and I live outside the city limits. But I was thinking about this earlier, that it is really important that we can make living in the city seen as one of the best things that can happen. When I first came here, it was kind of fun to live way out in the dry cabin, 30 miles out. And that's great when you're young. But when you start to realize that there aren't very many people within the city that are paying for the city services, I felt like I moved in the city because I had a responsibility. I used the library. And I thought, I should really live there so my taxes go to the city. But the other reason is so I could vote. I actually moved into the city limits, away from where I lived before, so that my husband could serve on commissions, I could serve on the library board, and if I ever wanted to run for an office, I could. And we vote in every election. I think those are things that that has to happen. People have to see the city as a really great place to live. That means that we are going to have to look at maybe some new subdivisions. There isn't that much land, but carefully plan the subdivisions so that when they open up that they provide water and electricity. We have to look at carefully at what kind of houses do we want in Homer for people to live in, and maybe look at some kind of housing, not really, this wouldn't be the city business, but look at where people could live, I guess, would be more what I'd want to say. I didn't understand the second part of this question, so I'm ignoring it. Yeah, because I wasn't quite sure what you meant, Claire.
Well, a lot of government says they're going to bring in more business by helping them out, by either giving them, relieve them of a tax burden or giving them land. So, but there is a cost involved in that. Mm-hmm. And where the private business, no one gave me my land, no one gave me my business, we had to do it all. And so what's your parameter for how much would you be willing to spend? It's not dollars, it's percentages. What would you see as a good investment to bring more business in that is sustainable and doesn't take away from our biggest asset, which is this, is bringing people here for what we have in our beauty?
Yeah, and Claire, I think that's a great question, and it's one that I would definitely want to think about more. I don't really, at this point, see a place in the city's budget where you could do a lot of financial incentivization for new businesses coming in. I sit on the city's Economic Development Advisory Commission, and we are currently conducting a business retention expansion program and asking businesses to start talking more openly, like having this conversation of what's hindering you, what's a challenge, how could the city help? And the city has only so many levers that it can pull to help the business community, or really any other community for that matter. And so, you know, there are federal programs, but you know, as far as encouraging and incentivizing businesses, we've been working for the last couple of years on the issue of derelict vessels around the state, and working with the legislature trying to pass some legislation to move forward. The state is woefully behind, and the state and our municipalities are very liable for derelict vessels around the state. I've been facilitating that effort, and one of the issues that's come up repeatedly is we don't have a cradle-to-grave plan. Vessels have an end of life, and we don't have anything to do with it. Like, we don't have any options there. There is, the state of Washington does have some tax incentives for scrap and salvage businesses. So, you know, I mean, those, like, are we going to get into that business at the city level? I can't really throw a percentage out on there. I don't know that we have those resources, but it is worth having it in your mind.
And if we can just keep, since we're already kind of, both have already had time, just
and all I was just want to say, this is Caroline. I was going to say, that's a good question, and I would too would have to think really hard on that. That's would have to have some thought. I wouldn't want to just reply to you on that. But call me. We'll talk about it.
Okay, why don't we go down to the other end, and we can go down to Vance. We can start there.
Sarah Vance, and I think this is a question that most businesses are asking, and I do appreciate your business here in the community. One of the things that we can do is begin by changing the attitude that people have in regards to business in Homer. I actually heard someone tell me, "Oh, I never shop retail in Homer. We go up the road for that." And I was taken aback that someone was living in this incredible town with so many unique shops, so many people who offer great services like yourself, who do not shop retail here at all. And because we have people that come specifically to Homer for what we have to offer in many of our local businesses, and I think that's wonderful. But there's a discontent between the attitude between businesses in the city of Homer, and I think the economic development is working at changing that, and would encourage, if you own a business and you haven't done their survey, to do that, because they are saying, how can we help you do business better? But I think that one of the answers with in helping businesses grow in Homer is limited government. Government is supposed to provide basic services and help you do your job better, rather than restricting you from what you need to do. We're supposed to help protect citizens and provide safety, so to make sure that businesses aren't bringing harm or creating an off balance. But we need to take a look at what are the values that we have as a city that we want it to look like, and make sure that businesses are adhering to that without putting too much restrictions that you can't make more of a profit.
Oh, hi, Andy Keita here. Rachel had some really good points as far as like diversifying and or trying to maintain diversification within our city here. Incentivizing businesses, that sounds like something that more like a state federal type situation. I don't think the city really, outside of zoning laws, there's not really a whole lot they can change there. I agree with you, Sarah, as far as the attitude goes, because, you know, part of my attitude is like, if you can't get it at Ulmer's, you don't need it, you know? And I spend almost every dollar I make right here in town, unless I take a vacation, which is like once every other year. And Caroline had a good point with subdividing, encouraging people to live within the city, like water, sewer, sidewalks, make it pedestrian friendly. And I'm fully encouraged situations like that. I work in restaurants primarily. Tourism is like a huge part of our economic base, I guess, in that situation. You know, locals definitely go out to eat, but during that 4 or 5 months of the summer, that's when the majority of my work comes. And so tourism is something that I would always promote. And hopefully those types of businesses that are seasonal can maintain their business here in Homer. Thanks.
One of the ways I would really like to start out with is with the harbor expansion. I would like to see us be able to bring in shipping containers. I would like to see a distribution dock set up so we would have shipping here. That would lower prices on materials and goods that come into Homer. I'd like to see what kind of offers we could make to private industry to come in and build the facility that they need, because I don't think we really know how to build a shipping dock. I think that would open up doors for trucking to other cities. We're closer to Kenai and Soldotna than Anchorage is. I know that Anchorage docks are going to be under repair here, so that might even open up more of a door. I think that exports, we have 4 bottling companies in the Homer area. I think exports could go that direction, and every container that would go across that dock, there would be a fee for that for Homer. So looking at the situation, I think, this is all an idea. I don't have any plans, any concrete deals or anything like that. But just driving through town, looking at different opportunities, if we could open up a shipping door here, instead of being at the end of the road paying the big bucks, we would be at the beginning of the road, and we would be taking little bites out of everything that was shipping, across the peninsula, and maybe even Anchorage. And then there's the other thing about the dock too, which would be really good, is if we ever had a natural disaster, we might be able to supply, other areas. In 64, the Spit got hit, and Anchorage got hit, but it might be an opportunity to keep supplies growing and during a natural disaster.
I don't mean to interrupt, but a little bit over 2 minutes.
One of the reasons I mentioned, my name is Kimberly Ketter, and one of the reasons I mentioned about helping people be able to stay here and reside here and it be reasonable is to, in offering job incentives to businesses on the Spit and small local businesses to hire locally first. I say that because to me that does keep money here in town. I met a lot of people when I process in the summers that work in different coffee shops and so forth on the Spit, and then go back to their home state and spend money they earned here in our city in their economy. I see that as being a big problem. I see that as knocking down a lot of revenue and us giving a lot of money up rather than keeping it here. I also think the city can let go of some of the land for housing development so more people can be here and spending. I already mentioned competition in business. Competition is what drives down consumer prices. And unless consumer prices drive down, it's always going to be hard for the small local businesses to compete with the internet. I mean, you're talking about reaching a worldwide base on the internet. And even things like some small businesses only take cash still. And a lot of people use plastic. So I believe that's another reason they get online, but it's mainly the prices. From the people I talk to, I don't think a lot of people like feeling like they're forced to shop at a certain place. Dwayne had a great idea about shipping containers, and that's a great idea. So I think investing in a larger crane that's capable of pulling those heavy containers off so that we can really look into exporting those containers instead of giving Anchorage that business is a great source of revenue. Also, cannabis on the spit is common sense, great source of revenue, according to me.
All right, thank you. And just a reminder, make sure you identify yourself when you begin speaking. And then when I'll try to gather your attention, I know you're looking out that way, but when I raise, you just have 30 seconds left, so you don't have to wrap up immediately. Going on to the next question, many of the city services and infrastructure are used by people who are not city residents. The recreational facilities and the library are some of these. How do you want these to be funded, or how can those outside the city help fund some of those services? And why don't we start down at that end of the table?
Hi, Andy Kiedep. So addressing use of city services by non-city residents, which happens 24 hours a day around here for sure. We do charge sales tax, which goes, no matter who buys something, the sales tax is charged, and that goes right to the city. I can't really imagine another way to, if they don't live in the city, there's no property tax for that. I mean, sales tax is really the only thing that actually happens with regards to the city services used by non-city residents. I mean, do we have to give somebody kind of a license to use water? Do we have to charge more for the library? Do we charge more for harbor use? Do we charge for highways in the city? I mean, that sounds kind of unfeasible. So I really can't think of much beyond a sales tax, to be honest. Thank you.
Sarah Vance, and as Andrew mentioned, that the sales tax has been the most reasonable response that citizens have accepted as a way to kind of level the playing field on what's fair as far as bringing in revenue from city residents and non-residents. But then you have the property owners who live within the city say that they pay for most of the infrastructure that everyone else gets to use, and that's not fair. So I'm open to ideas and suggestions on ways to address this that will be reasonable to all. I know that the library has looked at possibilities of having a resident card, that they already pay, but they want to encourage literacy and make that available to everyone in the community. So is it fair to have a non-resident card that they pay a fee? That's up to you who live here, pay your taxes within the city, and say this is reasonable and this is fair, because we are going to have that. There are tourists that come and also use our services. And so there's talk in the borough of a 1% tourism tax that will help that. Well, if we feel that that our structures are being drained by the people who live outside of our borders, then an easy way would be to increase the sales tax, but that means that all of us would be paying it. So, this is something that has been asked more than once, and I'm open to ideas on a creative solution that's going to give a balanced approach.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Nustfold. I'm not sure how you could do this, but if the library were to have special events that you could charge for, if you could just think of different ways of bringing in different ideas like that to draw people that come in from out of town that they'd be interested in and being able to participate in. A library resident card, that's sounds like a pretty good, a resident library card, that would sound like a pretty feasible deal. But it's kind of a tough one because it's been free for so long. Ever since I've been a little boy, it's been, you know, you go to the library, it's that's just a place where you go to, where you don't have to spend any money. So, but we need to come up with creative ideas to take care of that, because everybody wears the structure out. Everybody uses the facilities in town here that are free. So we need to come up with creative ideas on how to take care of that.
Kimberly, this is a difficult question. Whoever wrote this, this is a really good question. I heard a couple of the other candidates mention the library card, and actually I went to the first Meet Your Council Member at the library, and I asked that about having a resident card and charging a small fee for other people. And from my understanding, because of the nonprofit organization and the way the funding comes into the library, we can't really do that. Because there was a woman there from the librarian, as well as the council member, and as well as the lady from the nonprofit organization that helps with the funding of our library services. So I support a bed tax, because if I travel anywhere else in Alaska, I have to pay to use their services. Tourists use our public works services. They use our electricity. Anybody traveling to the city of Homer uses our services. So I think it's only fair to the city that they eat some of that cost as well. Because as Sarah mentioned, you do a sales tax and that hits the citizens' pockets as well. So that's not correcting the problem, the issue of the question that was just asked.
Rachel, Lord. And I mean, the greater Homer area, the lower peninsula, there's, you know, 15, 16,000 people on the lower peninsula. There's only 5,000 people that live within the city limits. And so it is it's a great question. How do we support those services that are being used by a lot of people? And I don't know that the city has a lot of, again, levers to pull there. There are other areas places where we do service areas. There are other places on the peninsula where there are recreation service areas. And, that's a borough question. That would be a borough question. And folks that are living outside of the city, it would definitely be something that I would be open to. But really, for all of these questions, there's not going to be a silver bullet. There's not going to be one single answer that's going to come in and save the day. I do think that we are, at the state level, at a very tight and scary place. And hoping that the legislature can move us forward into a sustainable plan. But I think at the municipal level, we have to be really mindful and try to, you know, be as careful as we can to not lose all of our revenue sharing, to not give up all of that that the cities have relied upon for so many years. And that is a partnership with the state, that's a partnership with the citizens, that is making all of our infrastructure move forward, because we need it to continue all living together. So I think that's what I got.
I think that the people that live outside the city limits support so many of our fundraisers, and we never ask, do you live outside the city limits? Do you want to buy a cookie and support the library? We never ask that question. We're just happy to take their money. So I do believe that people who live outside the city give, probably there's more of them, they probably give more to fundraisers. I believe the Friends of the Library, they don't ask, do you live outside the city limits or in the city limits? The Garden Club, the beautiful flowers that are all the spaces, they don't say, are you a city resident or are you not a city resident? Are you going to look at those flowers? I think we're all here. We're here in Homer. We have to all agree. Yep, some people are going to pay more for services because they live within the city limits. That's a huge word. I'm not going to say the word here. Excuse me for not saying it. This is Caroline. I forgot to say my name. But we can annex if we wanted to have all of you guys in here. Come join us all. But we do have service areas, and that's a borough issue. We have a service area for the hospital and a service area for recreation. And I believe that that's somewhat of an answer. And I am with Rachel on this, that we do have to work with our state representatives to make sure that revenue sharing does not end. But I really want to thank all the people that live outside the city limits. Some of you are here today. And I want to say thank you, because you do help us. You come in, you spend in our businesses, and you donate things. And fundraisers, you donate things to people when they're in need. I don't want everybody to think that there's somebody out there taking and not giving, because I think we all give in Homer. Thank you.